Start recording.
Is that one song movie, CB4?
No.
That's a great one. Old Chris Rock movie.
I think I'll do 1,000.
Yeah.
Hey, where are you?
I'll be there soon.
We're going to start. We've been waiting for you.
Oh, shit, you've been waiting for me?
Well, you didn't tell anyone where you were going, so we've been sitting here ready, just waiting for you, wondering where you went.
Thumbs I'm almost up our done. Ass!
I'm almost done.
Are you taking a dump?
You bitch. Wipe carefully.
Are you taking a dump? Seriously?
Front to back, son.
Don't wait for me.
Gotta get those
All right, make sure you light a match.
Mm. Will do.
Okay, bye.
Eat some of that broccoli. Help you out a little bit.
Hey, welcome to Motorcycles and Misfits at the Recycle Garage.
I'm Doug.
That was quick. This is Liza.
I'm Lucas.
Hi, this is Doc.
And Mike, you're texting. Can you say hi?
Hello. How's it going?
Thank you very much.
Pay a fuck attention.
And Donut, who apparently is taking a dump.
He's blowing out his O-ring. Good.
Is that the official terminology?
We're starting without him, but he may just show up. So let's cover what we did today, which wasn't a whole lot. It's right before Christmas, and not a lot's going on. No big well, I have projects. I'm just too lazy to pick them up right now. So we worked on the Death Trap, the scooter that almost killed Lucas last week. So Douglas and I decided just to go over it and check a couple more things. Let's see. The kickstand fell off. The front wheel, the nuts were finger tight.
Nice.
For those of you who don't know, the Death Trap is a 49cc scooter. Yeah. Not plated. You don't need to be have a license for it or anything.
Rusty.
Very rusty.
It looks like he was doing a good job killing him today. Trying to. Like, better from what I understand.
It's like razor scooter with an engine on it.
It was doing its best to murderate me, and I let my guard down.
Well, first, Douglas took it out and did some, what do you call that? Stunting?
I was straight stunting.
Straight stunting.
Drift, son.
We had fun with the GoPro. We'll probably put those up on the website. And that's when we decided, after he stunted, we decided to check stuff. That's when we found loose nuts and stuff coming off. It's only got one brake. I can't make the other brake
work. The front axle was finger tight.
Yeah. I'm still sick, but at least I can talk now. And then we fixed it up and sent Lucas out on it. Lucas, you want to talk about your fun with the Death Trap?
Mm. Yeah. So I swapped out the brakes so that the right lever is like the only working brake, so you could use it. And you know, I'm going out having a blast riding up and down the street. I mean, it's a Death Trap. That's kind of why it's fun, yeah. Because you know it could kill you at any moment. I guess that's like, you know, part of the suspense.
That's part of the appeal,
exactly. So I'm just taking it out. I'm going through the parking lot down the street, trying to pop some wheelies. Couldn't do it. You know, first 20 times, you know, so I'm trying real hard.
Yeah, you were gone for a while. We were getting kind of concerned.
I was
he was unconscious half that time.
And then we hear other bikes going down the other road. We're like, is that him?
No. So I kept trying to pop it up, but I could never get it to the balance point. And I finally did it, and it was fucking awesome. And I was like, oh, fuck yeah. And I did another small wheelie. And then I just started being a hot boy, and that was my downfall.
Of course, none of us are there to see
this. Throttle, and I got it down the balance point, and I rolled that for at least 30 feet. And when I came down, like, I must have hit something.
If no one saw it, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
I'm not claiming to say.
A squirrel ran out in front of you, man.
Something happened when it came down, the front just like tucked, and then I got thrown off. And
it's basically like running on shopping cart wheels.
Yeah. They're tiny little piece of shit wheels.
There's
and it just
suspension
went
on there.
Yeah, and it came down and it just threw me, and I just was like, oh fuck, this
and
is
what were you suck. wearing?
I was wearing a t-shirt and my pants and no gloves.
And a helmet we had you put on.
Yeah, they told me to put on a helmet and I was like, okay, fine, I probably should. I probably should have worn some gloves. I went down and I got some road rash and I was like, fuck, but I mean, it was okay. It was just a little, like, 10 miles.
I would like to describe Lucas at this moment that he's covered in what looks like bandages, but on closer inspection seem to be restaurant napkins and masking tape.
Yeah. That's how we do.
That's how we roll out here.
That's how we do. So,
Knock, you missed it. Hey, I'm in the shop and someone says, clear the couch. Lucas had a fall. And I look over and Lucas is like white and being like carried by people.
Yeah, he was acting. Telling me he was just nauseous and all shocked.
And he's like, I don't know what's wrong. What's wrong with me? I don't know. Yeah. We're like,
he's like, I feel like I'm going to pass.
Yeah. I might be concussed a little bit.
I don't know what the fuck happened.
There was nothing on your helmet, though. You didn't hit your head.
No.
You just, all your blood rushed out of your head.
I don't know what happened. I rode all the way back. I rode all the way back. I was fine. And then I got off. And as soon as I stood up, you know how like you get like a head rush?
You know what?
I just was like, oh, God.
And that's
just,
what it feels like to do a good wheelie. Nice.
Yeah.
So, Douglas, I was impressed. You pulled out the flashlight and were checking the pupils of his eyes. What did you get from that?
His left was a little smaller than the right, and neither of them were really responding, which is not good. But
I was, like, out. I don't know what the fuck happened.
He was, like, a gray color.
You won't remember this, like, 3 hours.
Because he's already pasty white.
Yeah.
He turned kind of a gray.
She didn't hit your head. You're just in shock.
I don't know why. Like, the thing is, I have no idea why I would go into shock.
Well, you get an adrenaline rush, and then when it leaves, your body's left with
that
nothing.
Coupled with standing up, I don't know. Like, I've gotten in really bad motorcycle crashes, and I've never gone in a shock like that. Like, I've had concussions, bad concussions, and it was nothing like that. And it literally just felt like I was just gonna die. Like, I was just like,
did
everything
you
went black.
Earlier today, your blood sugar low?
I didn't have, but I think that's it. I didn't have anything to eat. I didn't like eat anything or drink anything. I had a shitload of caffeine, and I can't eat when I drink caffeine.
Well, the score is now Death Trap 2, Lucas 0.
Nice. You got a tally.
How do we
awesome.
Beat the Death Trap, though?
You can't beat it, man.
I'm gonna declare that Douglas beat the Death Trap afterwards when the sun was going down.
Yeah.
And we said, the stunt of all stunts. We caught a ring of gasoline and then another big puddle after that, and the plan was to had Douglas step in the gasoline so his feet would
like,
be coated.
Come on, we just got to light your foot on fire. Just for a second.
It'll be funny.
We just want to light your foot on fire for a second.
We'll get this fire extinguisher. It doesn't work.
Just for a second.
We found two fire extinguishers in here that both had nothing left.
Nice.
That was a good thing. So he went out there and, oh man.
He was rad.
I arrived just at the right time. I was like, oh, we're setting things on fire.
Yeah,
now.
I told Knock, I'm like, Knock, you better get your ass over here. You show up and.
Good timing on my part.
Start lighting shit on fire.
Excited.
Oh, if you guys stay tuned, I'll have, probably by the time this is posted, I'll have it posted on my YouTube channel. That's Tenebrous Abyss, TENEBROUSABYSS, one word. Go check it out.
I don't even know what you just said. Why would you get
Chinese
something
Chinese algebra,
weird?
Son. I don't understand I'm just,
it. Hey, I want to put the video up on my YouTube channel so all fans can check it out.
You've got to have a link to our website if you're going to plug yours in ours.
All right.
You need something memorable like lucassucks.com. People will remember that.
People already know
I remember that. Clearly.
See? All I know is you said something about tenenbaum.com.
Tenebrous Abyss.
For all your Christmas tree needs.
Exactly.
You're too clever. I'm just going to say you're too clever with that one.
I'm sorry, I have a better vocabulary.
Oh, exactly.
Okay. I'm illiterate and I can't read.
Can you please dumb that down for the rest of us?
Fancy.
You get
education.
That?
Well, I want to segue that into, I thought too is a good time that we had a new guy, a new Jake, who's going to have to come up with a new name since we already have Jake, the new Zoe. So now we're.
What happened to Zoe?
Oh, she's at home right now.
Oh, okay.
She'll be back.
I'm telling you guys, we should call Jake Moped.
Moped?
Nah. Well, she's Jake.
She's got a moped.
But she's got a cool name. A chick named Jake is
okay,
cool.
All right. I see where you're going with that.
Steve once. That was pretty cool.
Oh, Steve.
Well, that's what her real name was, Melissa, but they just call her Steve.
I knew a chick named Fred.
Fred, really?
Yeah, my name was Frederica.
Yeah.
She was Danish or something. Yeah, but she went by Fred, which was really odd.
Yeah.
But so we had a new guy who I think he showed up on his Magnus 750. Cool. I guess we're going to call him Jake the Scarf.
Sure.
It's the most clever I can get.
His helmet reminded me of a spaceball helmet.
So he just wanted to check us out and hear it about us. And he wanted to come by and... Doug, I didn't tell you. He wants to do his fork seals.
Yeah, he told me.
He did?
Yeah.
I told him, it's an all-day thing.
Come at 11?
No, I told him 10.
Okay.
Because it gets dark earlier.
Only one is leaking.
Oh, well, we should change both.
But still, yeah, no, only have him take off one at a time, because...
Yeah, mix parts
You know how that...
Well, I mean, if he's ever done it before, I took, like, 2 days to do my seals the first time.
Yeah, so. That's a good call.
Exactly. So he wants to do his fork seals, but he came on a day when we're all just kind of goofing off and hanging out and lighting things on fire and crashing death traps. I think he thinks we're really cool.
Now he has to do his fork seals here.
Joke's on him.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, our other Jake didn't show up. We didn't really do anything else. Oh, though... Jake the Scarf took out the XL-175 and he really likes it.
Yeah, he was telling me he loves it.
He really likes it.
Did you actually register that thing or are you just shitting up?
No, I sent the paperwork to DMV to Sacramento because I'm mad at the DMV, so I didn't want to go in. So I sent it in the mail. It's been like 6 weeks and I haven't heard anything.
Oh, wow.
I sent in all the paperwork, the check, everything. It should be slam dunk. No. It's missing.
Well, it's the fucking DMV. It's molasses, so.
Well, I mean, I thought it would be easier than having to do the whole stand in line crap to just send it to Sacramento. I thought I was shortcutting, you know?
I don't know.
They're going to send it back to you with a letter that says, send it to the DMV.
Yeah.
They might.
Walk into your local DMV and do it there.
Well, when you go into the DMV, they have a basket to drop stuff off, and they send it to Sacramento for you. So I just threw stamps on it and sent it myself.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's... It's being rerouted to Oklahoma somehow.
Probably. Yeah. I don't know. Well, hey, let's take a moment to play a commercial from our sponsor, Moto Bandito.
Professional commuters, have we got the thing for you? Coming this spring is the Moto Bandito Smart Business Armored Riding Suit for commuters. With the suit, you can just hop off your bike and head straight into that morning meeting. No place to hang your gear at the office? No problem! This suit is designed to be worn comfortably all day with minimal chafing or monkey butt. Why is the suit smart? With the Bluetooth weather monitoring system, it conveniently lets you know if it's raining, snowing, windy, or sunny. Available accessories are the magnetic briefcase backpack fastener, the coffee mug warmer necktie, and a hidden humidor for that successful business deal celebration. Fantastic! That's the Moto Bandito Smart Business Armored Riding Suit for commuters. Visit www.motobandito.com and pre-order yours today. Moto. B-A-N-D-I-D-O.
And we're back. So, Douglas, you had a topic you wanted to bring up.
Yeah. This hit me the other day when I was filling up... when I first got my big boy bike, I had just always thrown premium gas in it. I think it burns better. It's better for your engine. Some people are gung-ho. Just put 87 in it. Just put 87. It doesn't matter. It's a fucking motorcycle. It gets great gas mileage anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of the way, like, it's good for the engine. It's only a $12 fill-up. Not necessarily going to notice a difference on the road, but better in the long run.
Yeah.
Hey, Donut's back.
What's
up? Hello.
With our new shop dog.
This guy's adorable.
Bosley, the big fat pug.
Bosley.
Take him.
All right, somebody's got to put him. Yes. Hey, Knock, can you take him up on the couch? He makes a great armrest. Hi, Buzz. Go over to the couch. Go to the couch.
Come here, boy.
Come here, Buzz.
Go over there. Okay.
Stupid dog.
Just trying to find that antifreeze. It's delicious.
Go over to the couch, Buzz. Oh, hi. Yes, I'm your new mama. I just got Bosley yesterday. He's a 4-year-old black pug who looks like a tick ready to pop.
Yeah, where'd you get him?
He's Craigslist, free.
Nice.
He's trained, too.
Awesome. I'm glad you free scooped that up.
Yeah. So, we were talking about... So, Donut, we just started a new topic.
Oh, did you?
We were talking about gas.
What type of gas?
That's a good question. What octane gas do you use?
Me. 90, of course.
Why?
Because it's the most expensive.
Hey buddy.
Okay. Why?
Because it's the highest quality you can get.
Yeah.
And
do you guys even know what the differences are with the gases?
Yeah. It's how well they filter. Yeah.
I know.
No, dude.
No.
Quality unicorns are expensive stuff.
Gas quality has nothing to do with octane.
Hold on. You know what? Since Mike is new here, Mike, right, share with us the difference in the octanes.
All right. So the octane rating of gas is basically rating its ability to explode and at what conditions. So
nice.
You want to run 91 octane in high performance, high compression vehicles.
There you go.
So that when you go wide open throttle at 2,000 RPM, it doesn't knock and you don't hurt the engine.
Resistance to detonation.
Right. And yeah. I believe that the higher octane actually has a slower burning time.
Right.
That so when you sense. Put higher octane in cars that require less, you actually are getting a right. delay.
You're going to make it knock.
It won't work, right. burn as well.
Because some vehicles just aren't meant... Like, some dumbasses think if they put race gas in their, whatever, it'll make it go faster. If it's not meant for that, you're just going to make it worse. Because, like Michael said, the octane rating is about how compressible it is. And you want the maximum compression before it explodes in a slower burn so you get more power out of each pump of the piston, right? So that's why if you have a vehicle that requires lower octane, you're going to make it knock. Or if you put too low octane in a vehicle that needs high octane, you're going to make it...
Or detonates if it's too hot.
Interesting.
It's too compressed.
So exactly. For all you CBR riders and knock, what are you riding
CBR
again?
CBR riders.
A Honda Superhawk, a 98.
Same thing.
So in short...
Yeah, it's a bike.
In short, it's a pretty rad bike.
Put the expensive shit in your bike. That's all there is to it.
Do you all do that? Do you all agree that it makes a difference?
I do with my bike.
I put diesel.
It's like a 9.102 or what, 0.1. But you know, it's one of the lower end compression.
Yeah,
you could probably run 87 then.
Yeah, that's what I'm running. 87.
Right. And I mean, like, I got like 12. Mine's got 12.0. So it's got to get the higher octane gas.
There's no way you're 12 to 1.
I'm pretty sure it's 12.
It's pretty
high. I mean, it's been around, so maybe let's say 11 and a half.
I've never looked it up. I know with cars, you can't use the octane that's not made for your car, that your car isn't requiring. But with motorcycles, is there really a difference, or are you just wasting money?
I think it makes a difference.
For the newer bikes, they always put premium in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just read your service manual. Whatever bike you got, it will recommend.
You read that thing?
Oh, yeah. Excuse me for actually reading the manual of something that I own.
You know how long it took me to figure out how to turn my blinkers?
When I first got my Jetta, I spent half an hour at the pump trying to find the fuel release. And all you do is push the side of the door in. Kicking myself in the ass.
And then I popped out. It was like RTFM, dude. There you go.
I have to say that
it's like those chips lay at the monolith. Woo, woo, woo.
It was a very
I'm one of those people who doesn't
Stanley Kubrick moment.
Who doesn't read the manual. I want to try and figure it out.
Yeah.
And so last night, Doug, I dragged him out into the yard at night. I said, "Hey, I just bought a brand new grill. Let's assemble it real quick in the dark." Which, by the way, we were working by the security light that about every 90 seconds, somebody has to jump and flap their arms in front of it.
Nice.
And we decided to try it without the instructions. How far did we get?
We got unpacking the box. That's about as far as
there was 98 pieces.
Yeah.
And we finally went, screw this, we're going to use the instructions.
Wonder why.
And how many parts are in a motorcycle?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but the motorcycle doesn't come unassembled.
Yeah.
True. But if you want to make sure it stays assembled, I recommend you read your manual.
I got to look up from my Versus what it is. I know I've had friends who like I have a friend who had like an old 70s bike or like a Seiko or something. And we were up at the racetrack and they have the pump right there. Uh-huh. Up at, what is Infineon called now? Sonoma Raceway.
Sonoma, yeah.
And he's like, dude, I'm going to get race fuel for the ride home to Santa Cruz, which was like $5 a gallon or something. And he just thought like he was the tit, you know, with his like race fuel.
Yeah, it does.
On the freeway. I'm not sure he benefited. Nope. But I think that psychologically he did.
Well, sure.
Yeah, it was the placebo effect. He's like, oh, yeah, I
that's
got this
my
power.
Theory.
That's like two horses on the butt diner right there.
More like negative two.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I have friends that go both ways. They're like, why the fuck are you putting premium gas in your Ninja that's, you know, 20 years old?
Like, well, yeah. That one, I would say it's that one.
It's always compression. That was always the thing, right? You use appropriate gas for the kind of compression you have for your bike.
If it's an old bike, it's going to lose compression over years. You know.
But around here, you could probably run 89 from a decent gas station all day long. I mean, I was cheap, so I did that in my car. But
we should talk about what the ethanol does, though. We should talk about ethanol consumptions.
I don't like it.
For those of you who are not from California, all of our gas is like 10% ethanol. It really sucks.
All of our water has fluoride, too.
I'm pretty sure it's that way in most
places. That's good.
Yeah.
Strengthens the spine, softens the brain.
If you guys live in a place where you can get ethanol-free gas, I will say it right now. I'm already jelly, so.
Well, here's what's happening that I've seen already. A lot of people are talking about. If you have a tank liner in your tank, a lot of the ethanol gases will dissolve it.
Yeah, Ducati has had a really bad problem with that, or warp the tank because of the ethanol, so they say.
Well, that's what Jim came by today with his
new Duke.
So I don't know, Nock, if you know Jim. He's one of our guys here. He got himself for Christmas a brand new used Ducati.
Mm-hmm.
M1000.
It was an 06 M1000.
Nice.
And he got it on a salvage title, but it was really fresh. Yeah. And they powder coated the frame and the swing arm and like all new bodywork.
And because the last tank was having that problem, he actually got Ducati to get a new tank, and he had it lined before it ever saw gas.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, my friend Aaron had the same problem, and it got to a point where the tank was swollen that the bars would actually hit it, or the switch gear would actually hit the dings hit the tank.
Wow.
And she got that replaced, and it's already starting to swell again. And so they'll replace it once, and after that, you're like, you're on your own.
Well, and our friend Daniel on his Triumph Speed Triple, it looked like it had chicken pox.
Oh, really?
It's on the outside, though.
I don't think that's the ethanol.
It seems like just a bad paint job.
I don't know, but the fumes are coming through. I know that I've got some bikes here with a tank liner a few years old.
Yeah.
And it could eat it away, so I'm worried.
Yeah, you got to cycle it through, from what I understand, too. Like, if you have it sit, it will swell. But there are people who have those older tanks who ride their bikes, and they don't have that issue, really, from what I understand.
I know there's some sort of additive you can put in that allegedly will counteract effects of the ethanol. Does anyone know about that? Does that actually work?
Placebo juice? I don't know.
Snake oil?
Placebo juice?
Yeah.
Better buy some Rossi Man juice and put it in.
So, actually, you guys all didn't comment. Do you care about the ethanol?
No, it hasn't been an issue for me. I'd imagine I have rubber parts in my car, but I don't think it hasn't become an issue.
It's usually...
Not yet, anyways.
It usually is worse the smaller the engine. So people who have small engines are all really butthurt about it.
Okay, so what I don't understand is why is this being forced on us if it's this caustic to some
good
vehicles?
Good question.
It's political.
I know the answer to that.
You shouldn't go there on a motorcycle podcast.
Yeah, we might end up making some enemies.
Subsidies and corn and
corn
and
subsidies like is basically the name of the game. Yeah. So they gotta do something with it. So they're just like, it's marketed as green and they're shoving it down our throats because, of course, we live in California. Yeah. So
put your tin hats on. On everyone.
It's not.
Goddamn chemtrails, I'm telling you. Goddamn chemtrails.
You were the one talking about fucking fluoride in the water, man.
Well, then, I mean, if we're supporting the poor farmers, is it worth it?
No.
No.
Are we the only ones in California?
The government's supporting the farmers.
Well, it's not mandated in other states.
Yeah.
It's not mandated in other states. So basically, they've duped the gullible greenies here in California saying that, oh, it's better for the environment and blah, blah, blah. When in reality, it's wreaking havoc on our engines and ruining our fuel efficiency. We're actually getting less mileage.
It's true.
We're getting less mileage with the ethanol.
Ethanol has less energy per gallon.
Exactly.
Than gasoline,
so we end up polluting more.
Density.
without like going the same distance. You know what I mean? So it's
but
really
ethanol
disappointing.
Makes horsepower.
So you guys may not know, this has happened a while ago. By a while ago, I don't remember if it was 10, 20 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. But it was something that they proposed here in California that I thought was rad.
What?
They were going to add a 50-cent per gallon tax to gas to help cover uninsured motorist, like an insurance. Mm-hmm. The thought was, we have so many tourists that come through California that we're going to collect their money to help pay for our uninsured motorist insurance kind of thing. Yeah. I thought it was actually pretty smart. I mean, yeah, we would all have to pay an extra 50 cents a gallon over the rest of the country. I mean, we're already paying a lot more with certain taxes. But when you think about how many other people are going to be paying into that and how everyone could benefit, I thought it was pretty cool and never got passed.
Well, we'd also get lower insurance, too. I mean, because you wouldn't have to buy uninsured motorists insurance, you know? So, I mean, I can see that as a highly politicized issue, though. California does have a crap load of uninsured drivers. So, it's something in the moto community we do worry about. So, I could see that as, like, you know, a lot of people being in favor of that, but I can also see a lot of people being like, no free lunch, you know, I don't want to pay for other people's shit, that sort of thing. So, America.
America.
No lackey, get out.
Well, I guess maybe I have to look up my bike and see what gas I should be using, because I haven't been, I'd go for the cheap shit.
It's a relatively new bike.
One of your bikes here probably uses kerosene or something. Like, there's old bikes in here, man.
So I have a funny story. When I was in Georgia, I was in a motorcycle club of Harley riders.
Yeah.
One of the girls had the interesting nickname of Diesel.
Nice.
Well, oh, I can see where this is going.
I asked her, how did you get this name? She said at one time they were on a group ride, and she was on a Savage, Suzuki Savage 650, single cylinder little cruiser. Pulled up to the pumps, wasn't paying attention, and put diesel gas.
Yes,
in
that'll do it.
That's what I thought.
Yep.
So here's the interesting thing. So they asked the guy at the gas station, like, oh, like, what do I do? Can I take it out? He said, I recommend you start it. And you keep running until you run through that gas.
Yeah.
Don't stop the bike. I guess I don't understand enough about diesel, how different it is, but she did. She cycled through that whole tank of diesel.
And it worked. And it worked.
Yeah, probably it worked. Like should, too, I don't like, understand why you can't turn it off. Maybe then you get diesel in the lines that, or vapor, here, I don't know.
Here's
but
what
it
I,
worked.
Here's what I want to know. I wonder if you had a four-cylinder bike, would it work as well? Because I know the thing about diesel is that Michael can back me up on this. Because
it's a bigger cylinder?
Well, diesel fuel is not supposed to have a spark. It's supposed to, like, explode on its own. Isn't that right?
The glow plug keeps
it
going.
Yeah. So it kind of doesn't have a spark.
Once it's compressed.
It just compresses to the point where it becomes volatile.
Right.
So thinking about how that would work inside a bike with a big fat single cylinder might be different.
Maybe that's why I said don't turn it off, so if you're keeping that spark just going.
I think he said don't turn off because you'd end up with diesel fuel inside the in the cylinder and it would just like eat away all your seals.
I think maybe or maybe once the diesel fuel could actually flood the plug.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet it wouldn't start on the diesel, but it'll start on the gas in the
that
line.
Was still
that's
in there.
Why.
Exactly.
Right. That's why.
And then because it's going to, I think that has an extra spark in that when it's doing the, since it's a four stroke. Yeah.
So
it's just.
That's a way spark.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. I thought it was like, she's got such a badass name, and then you find out.
See, everyone's name is embarrassing when you get right down to it.
Oh, there was a girl named Gutter.
Yeah.
And Gutter. Then this one girl, poor thing, her name was Buttercup.
Oh, man.
Because they were on a group ride, and they stopped in at a restaurant, and the waitress just came to her and said, hey, Buttercup, what can I get you? And, it, you know, it's like, it's stuck. It's like, poor little thing.
Yeah, see, my nickname here is now Douchebag. It's not always good.
And you saved a whole bunch of orphans from a building, and that's why your name is Douchebag. That's the ironic nickname.
But
the
with you, it's almost a term of endearment. It's said tongue-in-cheek.
Yes, I know.
Not like other people who we all think are douchebags, other but wouldn't don't know, say it though. Verbally.
So be like, oh, hey, that's Douchebag over there. And they'll be like, oh, fuck that guy.
You know what the truth is? Because you say douchebag things sometimes.
I don't give a fuck.
You're not 100% douchebag, but every now and then you say something total douchebag, and I just laugh.
I do have a reputation for just being
Look at
like,
Mike's laughing. He knows exactly what I'm talking like, about.
He's lived with this guy.
Years, he's been my brother for as long as I've been alive, so I mean, like, you know.
Of course.
His whole life, he knows what's up, so.
I've seen some things.
You're looking at me with like the 1,000-yard stare right here, and you're like, I've seen some things.
Bosley is one awesome little dude.
Yeah, he's just chilling right here on the couch between me and Nock.
Except I lost him three times today.
Oh, Boz.
Let's run away. Michael, tell us about what happened when you tried to get him.
Every time he would be running away, I'll run up, Bosley, come here. Turns around, looks right at me, just turns around and goes the other way. Just runs every time.
I told him to go get him. About like 5-10 minutes later, he comes back carrying him. I'm like, wow.
There's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
I'm leaving with his dog. We're going to hang out and pick up chicks.
You know, I just want to take this opportunity, even though it's off topic, but it's on topic, because right after this, we're going to do Lucas's Craigslist porn pick of the week.
Yes. Yay!
But I want to say, for people, the reason I got him is he was listed as free to a good home. He came from a really good family that they just had a situation where another dog was mean to him, and they felt bad and just needed a new home. They didn't want to give him up. They loved him. There were little girls there. It's a nice house. So they did what they thought was the right thing and put him on Craigslist as free.
Yeah.
Please do not list your pets for free on Craigslist. I don't want to be like the one who like spreads like crazy rumors. I'm not going to say that people are going to get them to eat them.
Chinese restaurant. Go pick them up.
But I think like test labs, you never know. Yeah. There are people who are going to pick up free animals.
Yeah.
So you just don't know what they're going to do. A token amount of money just to weed out the nut jobs.
Yeah, tell them to donate.
Well, isn't that the gateway drug to killing people?
Animals?
I don't know. I thought it was totally
killing animals.
Off
topic. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
From what I understand, they start torturing animals.
There you go. Yeah. And if you were going to torture an animal, wouldn't you get it free off of Craigslist?
No.
Yeah, that's a lot of assumptions.
You trap a little game.
That's so much work.
Hold on. You've got a lot of detail. Going
anyway.
We live in modern times where a crazy serial killer can do that.
The point is, don't list your animals for free on Craigslist.
So,
crazy people.
If you love them, at least.
I was looking for a pug to adopt anyway, so I felt like I needed to be the first one there to make sure a crazy person didn't get him, and I got lucky because he's an awesome dog. Yeah.
He's so adorable. Are you adorable?
So, Lucas.
Jeez, that's a douchey thing right there.
Craigslist porn pick of the week.
All right, yeah, I got to talk about my porn pick of the week here, filling in for Megan, I guess.
Porn.
So, I don't know what Megan usually goes for, but my favorite is, like, the absolute, like, rat bike, like the worst sport bike.
It's got to be under $500.
By the squidliest owner.
Doesn't have to be.
This one's $900. Yes. This one's $900, but I have no doubt you could take it home for $500 just based on the condition. Describing it, it's got this really weird, like, two vertical beams. It's a Street Fighter 1992 CBR 600 F2. And all the fairings are gone. I mean, all of them.
Is this silver?
No, I'll show it to you in a minute. It's like the front fender is like unpainted, and then there's like a scratched up tank, and then there's no rear fairings. There's just the seat. And
Street Fighter.
Yeah. So for $900, is probably what you're looking at.
Is that Zoe's bike?
No. You know what? It almost looks like it. This thing is even more clapped out than her bike, though. It's got this really weird headlight cluster where it's got the two bulbs right on top of each other, and it totally doesn't match anything on the bike. It's really weird looking. And, of course, none of the fairings. It's all scratched up and, like...
How much is it?
It's $900. Listed for $900.
That's a good...
What's in the description?
What's
he say?
Ad say?
Yeah. What's really funny is that there's supposed to be like a rear plastic fairing, but it's not there, so the brake light kind of just hangs out like 6 inches behind the seat.
Like Zoe's bike.
And, you know, it's got the token stickers on it, and, you know, I'm sure if it ran well, you know, that'd be a good deal to come pick it up, but I want to read the
How many miles does it have?
I'll get there in a minute. My favorite is I originally looked at it for the title, and it says 1992 CBR F2 for sale or trade for gaming PC or gaming console. And it says,
boy knows his priorities.
Yeah. Hello, shit. CL. I have 92 CBR F2 for sale. Bike's been my commuter and stunt learner bike.
Oh, no.
Also willing to trade for gaming PC console and or racing simulator. About bike. It's a Street Fighter, meaning no fairing, naked bike. Has 40,000 miles on it. Regular serviced. Will need regular oil change and new sprocket and chain. This bike is great for beginners and or someone who is interested in learning how to stunt. For any questions, email or message at number. So.
And this is in the San Francisco Bay Area.
It's East San Jose. So if you guys want to pick it up.
Let me see a picture.
You guys want to pick it up.
I would I totally know. Do that. If
you
I
better jump on it.
So it's got a Corbin seat.
Yeah.
And it's got a Street Fighter fairing.
You want
to? He's got the Acerbis, Acerbis, whatever headlights, the double stack.
They're freaky looking, dude.
That's kind of cool.
They're freaky looking, man.
See, this
maybe
is
you
a
could
problem.
Score a deal on a hot bike.
Someone out there listening to this might want to go pick it up.
I'm tempted. Every time we do this segment, I'm tempted to go buy the bike.
You want a nice F2 to just beat the crap out of, don't you?
Well, I wanted the F2 that I sold to Zoe because I was going to...
Turn into a stunt bike? Are you a stunner?
No. I am not a stunt-on.
You're totally a hooligan,
you should
though.
Be you're a just stunner. A
stunner. You see the hooligan smoke around you in your water.
No, 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 no.
It's not because like your pants
I'm
are
the
fire.
One who thinks of the stunts and talks people into doing it.
What?
Hence the... Dark, I'm just going to light your foot on fire.
You're the okay. ringmaster.
Or Lucas, come ride the death trap. Yep. See if you can do a wheelie.
That is my guess.
See if you can do a wheelie, they said. It'll be fun, they said.
You're going to have to like start getting these guys to sign a non-disclosure agreement or a liability waiver.
Waiver schmaver.
Yeah, right.
I mean, maybe that's
so,
in good condition.
Lucas.
Yeah.
Honestly, so this pick that you found, would you buy it? Do you think that is a good deal for the money?
If it's a clean title and it's got a regular service history, I'd say that's absolutely a good deal. It might look like complete crap, but you know, if it's your first or second learner bike... And I guess if you're into stunning and it's in good condition.
Dude, this bike has the fork sticking out of the triple like by at least 4 inches.
Wait, let me see.
It sounds about right.
I didn't notice that.
No, not 4 inches.
Not four. It looks so like much. It, but
Oh, no, that's fucked up.
Oh my god, I just noticed that. What the fuck?
Yeah, maybe the owner is short.
I don't know.
Okay.
The ride height doesn't look any different, but if you look at the forks, they like Michael said, they're coming out of the triple tree a good 4 or 5 inches.
Yeah, that's something's going on.
Yeah, it's really weird. I don't know what's up with that. I didn't even notice that. Nice find, bro.
Yay, Megan's here. Hello. Megan, we were just doing the Lucas's Craigslist porn pick of the week.
Yeah, here, pass
She's
us
all
to,
dressed
pass
up.
It.
Fighting mall traffic, huh?
And she smells like the perfume section.
Here, pass this to Megan so she can check out my porn pick of the week.
We've got a chair over here, and you're going to have to just share a mic.
Oh, it looks like a thing's on a stand.
Somebody.
Yeah.
So, while she's looking at that, I wanted to kind of... well, actually, let's run another...
Stunt learner bike is never a good idea.
I know. Let's run another ad, and then we're gonna come back and pick up where we are. So here's another word from Moto Bandito.
Contractors, are you tired of leaving your Harley at home on the weekdays? Now you don't have to. Introducing the Overhead Lumber Rack for Baggers. It can carry 4x8 sheets of plywood, and it's rated for up to 1,000 pounds. Order now and receive the toolbox side bags for free. You will need to purchase a sign of the reinforced tripod side stand sold separately. Moto Bandito is not liable for any damages or accidents that will incur as a result of using the Overhead Lumber Rack.
And we're back. So, okay, I wanted to segue from that Craigslist ad where in the title it said stunt and
stunt learner bike.
Stunt learner bike. Okay. So here's there was another person who contacted me for help in finding their first bike. So I want to talk about wrong bike, right bike. Mm-hmm. And I would say for anybody who is not a stunt rider, if it says stunt in it, stay away. Would you all agree?
I'd say even if you are a stunt rider, if it's a stunt, stay away. Because I mean, that's a guarantee. The spork springs are screwed up.
And how many times has it been dropped?
Yeah, how many times has it been dropped? How many wheelies has it slammed down? How many burnouts have they done? You know?
Because so. I knew somebody who, it was his second bike, but he's like, oh man, look at this awesome deal I got, and it's a stunt bike, so it's all tricked out. And I was like, dude, it's ragged out. Like, you need to know there's a difference. Like, he thought that was a selling point for him to buy it.
Well, yeah. I'm sure the guy who's selling this bike is waiting for that one idiot to come along. So, yeah.
The idiots that you look for when you're selling your bike?
Yes, Mike, that guy.
Mike, you're freaking me out when you do that. It looks like you have a toupee.
That's what everybody says.
Michael's scalp just
He's wiggling his forehead, which makes his whole scalp move. Okay, stop it. You're freaking
us out, dude.
Come here, buddy.
So,
Daddy loves you.
I'll repeat the conversation I had with Jordan, who's the brother of a friend. What originally started out is every now and then they would send me the link to a Craigslist and say, hey, you know, my friend Liza, she knows bikes. We'll ask her what she thinks. This is somebody buying their first bike, and the last link they sent me was like a $3,000, I think it was like a CB350 or something, and like immaculate condition. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, no. Have him call me, please. And when he called me, I asked him the questions that we usually ask. What is it going to be used for? Do you need to travel any distances? Thank you, Douglas. Or high speeds? What's your budget? What style do you want? Because it drives me nuts. And I told him, I said, I'm going to say no. You cannot buy a 40-year-old good condition bike. And I'm saying that not to protect you, but to protect the bike. Yeah. He's like, oh, thanks for recommending. I'm like, no, I wasn't doing it to protect you. Yeah. I don't want to see the death of a bike. I said, you're going to drop it. I don't recommend a new bike. I don't recommend a good condition bike. But it's debatable because maybe it's somebody who has the money to spend and they want to buy something cool, like a Triumph or something vintage.
Maybe go, you know, ride down a mile to the next Starbucks and sit there for 45 minutes and ride back. That might be doable for, you know, for that kind of a purpose, I guess. I don't know. You earn some points.
Douglas.
So, Knox, since you haven't played this game with us that much, what bike would you recommend to somebody who is 5'6"
and 115 pounds?
115 pounds.
Whoa.
Oof. Lives in Berkeley, so there's hills, but says he doesn't need to go on the freeway or over the bridge. And I said, but it might be nice, because he wanted to get something small, and he wanted to spend about $1,500.
That really narrows it down.
He said he'd buy something new in finance.
New in finance? Not for anything under 500cc, any of the newer Honda 500, CBR 500R, or the road version with the tall handlebars, or any of the newer Ninja 350s.
Yeah, who wants
they have a Ninja 350
now? A street bike. Bro.
Yeah, a street bike.
Bro, I didn't even know, bro.
And, or like maybe a... one of the dual sports, like a DR.
Okay, stop. 250 or something. 5'6".
No, they compress pretty good. Well, how much did he weigh?
115.
Ninja 250.
Yeah, I would say Ninja 250 myself.
Yeah, right, a little there. Ninja 250. He wants an older a street Ninja bike, not a sport bike. That they don't make anymore.
The 250s are like street bikes. They're not at all sporty.
They're pretty sporty, and I mean, if he's from Berkeley, he can ride the East Bay Hills. So I would definitely say Ninja 250.
Nah, man, you got to get the Rebel 250. Cruiser status.
Okay, so something in the $1,500 range. What would you all recommend? Because a lot of you weren't here for the conversation, so you don't know what I recommended.
Well, that CBR was only $900.
Yeah, there you go.
That thing is a death trap. Do not get that motherfucker.
Well, it's like you have this thing whether you want the right bike for you or do you have a budget that you're working with. Because I got my first bike a pretty, for the time, a relatively powerful 600. The thing only had 60 horsepower, and it's, I think, and for me, it was still way too much. starting, but like, I don't know. But that's because only I had like $800 with me. I bought the bike for $700, you know, so.
Oh, I have a little bit more info.
Yeah.
Because I always compare motorcycles to shoes. Mm-hmm. I asked him what his everyday shoe was.
Yeah.
He wears like a hiking boot. There, take that.
That's a good, that's...
You know what
they say? I'm thinking about that now.
I know, because if he said sneakers, I'm like, you need a sport bike, right?
Liza, you know that they actually have done studies that say that the shoes you wear reflect your personality?
Right.
So I think if
that's why I ask people what their everyday shoes are.
Everyone's looking at their shoes right now.
You got like 2 inch, you got like 2 inch lifts on yours, Lucas.
Yeah, I got... they're motorcycle... I have like these shitty cruiser boots, you know. I got to upgrade. My bro Michael has like steel toe boots.
Yeah, they look nice though, straight leather.
How do you shift in a steel toe boot?
There is no steel toe, it's just stiff leather.
Oh. Right.
It's not class. About the shifting, it's about the kicking the cars and stuff. That's where the steel toe comes armor. In handy. Yeah.
So, Megan and Michael, what bike would you recommend in the $1,500 range?
Well, if it's his first bike, I wouldn't say get a 250. I mean, everyone, we've talked about this.
Yeah.
You grow out of 250s. Get something that you can be happy on for a little while. Get, like, an old, like, an late 80s, 90s, like what I got.
Say it.
You know,
say it.
I got the CM400.
That was a 79.
Yeah, that was one of the bikes I suggested.
Yeah, I was happy on it for a while. It was heavier than what I maybe would have wanted, but
it was low. It was low to the ground.
But it was low to the ground, so I could flat foot it. And
that's big, flat footing it.
You know, that's the big thing is just being comfortable on it. And for someone who's shorter, something like that would be good, like an old Honda 500, 400.
Michael, what say you?
I mean, I don't have that much experience in the small bikes range,
Michael.
But I know I rode one of those little Rebel 250 cruisers, and that you can really get your feet down easily, and it is extremely light, of course. So, I mean, it's a little easier even than the regular Ninja 250.
He brought that up, and I told him, no, because you can't have any respect.
You know what's funny
there's
about
a respect
that?
Yeah, yeah. X factor that you gotta put in
there. It's like 5 foot Mike tall, speaks, like
Mike,
100
speaking
pounds,
the mic.
And it's like super wimpy white guy.
I mean, I knew a chick who commuted every day over the hill on a Rebel, but she was this tiny little thing and it fit her perfect.
Yeah,
so right. I wasn't going to make fun of her, but I told him, I said, the Rebels are this cheap, like tacky. They're a tacky Harley wannabe. There are other cruisers that aren't Harley wannabes that are themselves that are cool. I just think that the Rebel, unless you're a tiny person,
get like an older Shadow or something, like a
Is
Shadow
like the,
500 or a 600. If he's worried about not being able to touch, those are low bikes and it's got relatively good power. You know,
so
older Shadow.
I'm going to say I pride myself in. People will say, like, well, he said, I don't want a cruiser and I don't want a sport bike. And then I came back with, actually, you do want a cruiser or a sport bike. And here's why. You just don't know. I think there's so many people who buy the wrong bike because they get it in their head.
What did he want?
He wanted a standard, like, 70s.
Because he wants to be, like, a moto hipster or something?
Pretty much.
Wear the three-quarters helmet, the scarf, and like,
the vintage
little jeans.
Little stash. Stash.
I like the stash.
With the scarf.
You know, Liza.
They think you
trailing
think you look
behind
cool,
him as he
you don't look cool.
So I get people all the time who tell us what they want, and then I have to tell them why they're wrong.
Yeah.
And it can make sense, but this is the thing. All the time, people get it in their head about something that they want, and they're wrong.
Yeah. They care.
That's why I say it's the wrong bike. But how do we get this out to people?
Well, when they start out, they care more about the image because they don't have any experience. So they don't really know
the
what they want.
Riding,
they just know
riding.
What aesthetically is pleasing
They just
to them.
Know yeah. they want to be that cool guy on that motorcycle.
That's why like, everybody gets sport bikes
yeah,
the first time.
Yeah.
And then they wad it and they're like, oh,
fuck it.
They
ride
really
for an hour
it.
And they're like, fuck this.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's all about just trying to beat the image out of them, you know?
I've got an idea. I think we need to start a new program. Buying buddies. When you're gonna buy a bike, you get hooked up with a buddy.
I totally volunteer.
Who will help you. and to tell you why you're wrong.
I'd just be there to tell you that you're just a douchebag.
Let me ask you guys this. So somebody walks into a dealership. This happens all the time.
Yeah.
They want to get a bike, and they're sold a Gixxer 750. Well, we talked about it a few weeks ago.
And then they want
that, that kid whose mom took him to the store.
Yeah.
He bought a big sport bike, pulled out of the driveway, lost control, got hit by a car, and died.
What about? I remember this.
I think it was in Texas.
I can't remember how old this is.
Ridiculous.
I remember reading about it on Barf. There was some kid who did a test ride, and this is a thread about why dealerships don't allow test rides. He's some 19-year-old kid, no permit or whatever, goes to the dealership. They put him on a Ninja 650, and it just has a picture of a whole line of bikes knocked over.
Oh, yeah.
And all smashed, and they're like,
that was great.
He got on it and ripped the throttle and smashed right into all these bikes.
Yep.
I watched a guy in a parking lot test ride a bike, pop the clutch, let go of the bike, and it did 3 somersaults.
Oh, just
whoa.
Fully looped.
And the owner came out and said, that's it, no more test rides.
Yeah.
I get it, but my question is, what is the responsibility of the shop, of the salesperson? Should there be a responsibility to...
Lucas knows all about
Netflix. Normally, they take your insurance and your license when you take a test ride.
It depends on how honest people are. I mean, do you think that 19-year-old went in, and do you think he was like, yeah, I've ridden before, and maybe he putted around in a parking lot on a moped?
Has anybody bought anything from a dealership here?
No.
Yeah.
It's required to show your ID and insurance and driver's license.
Yeah.
So I don't know where these stories are coming from.
No.
Yes.
You don't have to.
Insurance? I don't know about insurance.
No, not insurance.
But, well, you do have to show a valid driver's license.
You got to show up with a lot of money.
Or they make you sign for your own insurance.
They make you sign a...
Like, anyway, my point is that they're not going to let someone just fucking get on a bike. I don't know where these stories are coming from or whoever. It's their own fucking stupid fault.
Somebody wants to walk in and buy a bike. Now, I'm not talking about test riding. They want to walk in and buy a bike.
Right.
Should they be sold it?
I'm just saying, should they be more responsible and ask more questions about their abilities and like we do, to change somebody's mind about what they think is the right bike for them.
I think the dealerships.
Ooh, Jen, what you got? Oh, yes. Hi! Yay!
Hi, Jen. Oh.
Thank you.
Oh, hello.
Hi for me.
Well,
thanks. We'll pass around. Thank you very much.
You get the last bite because you're recovering from some fucked up illness.
Oh, I'm gonna lick it.
Yeah,
you know what?
Just breathe on it.
Here is what I think the real trouble is. There's a bit of a dichotomy between what they should do and what they're kind of obligated to do.
You need to make money, son.
Well, it's not only that. It's that as a business, your responsibility is to your employees, to the people you know, who supply you, to yourself. So you have a responsibility to do well.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you should be unethical. The problem is, if some kid comes in and he's just like, let me throw down list price to pick up this new Gixxer 1000, and he speeds off in the street and dies, right? If you had told that kid no, he'd be like, who are you to tell me I can't buy this bike?
Well, sure. That's not their decision to judge the person and say, hey, you know, I don't think you should be driving this
bike. Like, what kind of asshole salesman would be like, I'm not even ready for this.
You're responsible for yourself. You can't have a dealership watching out for how you ride.
Somebody else will sell it to him.
Lucas, I'm going to nail you to the wall right now.
Okay.
Years ago, I was selling a BMW touring bike.
Yeah.
This older gentleman showed up.
Uh-huh.
Said he, in his retirement, he decided he wanted to learn how to ride a bike and... Mm-hmm. And this would be his first bike. And I said, you know what? I'm really sorry, but this is a big touring bike, and I'm not going to sell it to you because you need to start on something smaller. And I turned him down.
I completely agree with what...
But you have talked about the squid you sold a bike to.
I sold a bike to probably the squidiest guy in existence.
I'm saying if we're saying that maybe the salespeople should be responsible and ask more questions, would anyone here do that? Would anyone here... say, you know what? I don't think you could handle this bike. Would you say no?
A private sale like us.
It's different.
It's different from a dealership. It's not their responsibility.
Yeah.
And they don't hold responsibility.
I'm talking about as riders. I'm not talking about getting sued. As riders.
I personally wouldn't do it. If I had a Boosted, I wouldn't sell to some chump who just got their license. Fuck that.
I mean, I think that we all, as part of the riding community and not just riders, kind of feel responsible, you know? And I would definitely be down if it was like a nice kid and it's like, oh, this is my first bike. I'd be like, no. But the reason I sold this bike to this guy was because it's not his first bike. He's just an asshole. So,
I mean, I'm just saying, if we are saying we have morals and wouldn't do it, then shouldn't we expect that at a dealership?
But it's different because they're a dealership. I mean, we can't expect
it's commendable,
them.
But not necessary for them to do.
If
I guess.
If they did that, I would
Spock say?
I would say that would be very good of them to do. But yeah. Like, you know, that's just going to hurt their business, and they're going to go buy it from the next dude down the street anyway. So I mean, like, what's the point?
I mean, in all liability, fairness, I don't know. Maybe there are people say, like, maybe you'd be better off on a Ninja 250 first. Maybe they do.
I'm sure as salespeople, they'll try and be responsible. But, I mean, at the end of the day, if they can't change their mind, that's it. They can't just say, no, we refuse to sell it to you. I mean, they can, but, like, that's kind of a dick move. You know, you're not supposed to do that.
I don't know, but I think there is a moral obligation here.
I agree with you that there is a moral obligation. Because people, like, they don't know what they're getting into. When I first started riding, I was a dumbass. I crashed my first bike. You don't know what you're doing.
Okay,
you
know? So, morals are Michael, relative. What was your first bike?
The 1997 CBR 600 F3.
So your big brother got you on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is twice now you've put new riders.
Safe to say that in my riding career, I've been able to keep the speed right just at the limit, so you get like a 10 mile an hour low side instead of a
I trust my brother
drive into a car at 50 miles an hour or whatever.
Mike, you really got to speak into the mic. It's directional.
But I will say that no matter what bike I was on, there are some times where if I didn't have any skills, I would have totally eaten shit.
I
even
trust
on like
brother.
A 250, it wasn't about the power, it was like target fixation and that kind of thing.
And that's, that's just stuff you got to get out of the way. Like, there's no
Is target fixation something that runs in your family, Lucas?
Target fixation is something that runs among noobs. But, like, the reason I would give my bro that bike is because I can trust him to take good care of it. I know he'll maintain it. He knows me, so he knows I didn't screw with it or do anything terrible. And, you know, I know him. He's a responsible dude. He's done car track days, you know. He knows the whole apexing thing and how to ride. I mean, all the skills, you still gotta work up the experience. But the thing is, I know he's responsible enough to not get himself into trouble.
So if you have a buying buddy who vouches for you...
Yeah.
So, Donut, if you had started out on the CBR 600, how would life be different?
Probably would have killed myself, but it's not because I started out on a Ninja 250. Any type of bike would have taught me the same as a Ninja 250.
Just with harsher consequences, maybe.
Right, it's just you have to keep the throttle in, and otherwise it's like a Ninja 250 if you don't twist the throttle.
It doesn't have that much horsepower. I think it's only got 80.
Even a Panigale would feel really easy to ride until you twist the throttle.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty much it.
Have any of you, I think most of you are, you know, only been riding a few years, really. Maybe not. Have you ever had the wrong bike?
No. I've been fortunate to have all the right bikes at all the right time. Seriously, like... I'm super stoked about it.
Right.
I wanted an R6 for my first bike, of course, like any idiot. And I got like an older, you know, 20-year-old bike that I had to patch up and square away, and I wanted the shit out of and rebuilt. But I learned a lot of cool things about it.
It teaches you.
The right bike. In retrospect, it was the right bike at the right time.
What bike was this?
It was a 1988 Kawasaki Ninja ZX6R.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was an older sport bike.
They had the 6R and 88, I guess.
Yeah, it's like maybe the second or third year, and it had these really trick forks for the time, and the thing had 65 horsepower, weighed 402 something. It's a pig by today's standards, obviously, but
so
it was tits.
Let me ask you this now, because that's something that's crossed my mind. If somebody wants to get a sport bike, one of my thoughts is get an old sport bike. But now, my thought on that is, old sport bikes, to me, are more of a death trap.
Yeah, they're probably more wadded up, and they're more Craigslist parts on it or eBay parts on it than you can think, imagine. And
the suspension's just not as good.
And that's the one bike, like, I wouldn't recommend getting an old, like, I don't want anyone to touch, like, the 80s. Except, I mean, I love the GPZs, and I helped Douglas buy his first GPZ, but...
Part of it is like those 80s bikes are still kind of somewhat borderline not so reliable. Like, if you're somewhat semi-advanced mechanic, you'll be okay with it. Because it's still very analog, but it's not like a modern bike where you could just
But like I see these old interceptors or the what's this, the old Suzuki weird looking thing.
Oh, the katana.
Yeah, like a katana. Oh,
that's my pick for the ugliest.
Like, would you put somebody on a katana?
Knowing what a katana would do in terms of how it, though, its power meant, I wouldn't put a new person on a katana.
Because here's what I'm thinking. The suspension is broke down.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, if you want to get an 80s bike, you got to know what you're doing. I mean,
you have to have completely rebuilt suspension is how I see it.
You spring it for your weight and redo. Yeah, it's like 20-year-old oil.
And like, you know, if the owners haven't done it, you got to do it yourself. Like, you got to replace all the seals. You got
to
get,
probably OEM chain. That's what I had to do with my first bike.
It's going
to
be a lot of work. You know,
seals are rubbed out, broken.
If you're a new rider, it's like a project bike. It's not something you just jump on. Yeah.
So since each of you are now more familiar and I think are knowledgeable enough to make a good decision, what is your next bike going to be?
Goldwing. All the way.
Okay, I take that back.
You're old enough to ride the wing, dude. The wing is the wing for the old dudes. The old dudes.
I'm
going
to have to
badasses.
Talk you out of that.
I'm serious.
Scrape pegs.
I just found one for $500 on Craigslist. And it's a little fix-up. No big deal.
Take a look at the Royal Star instead.
I'm good. I'm good. I'm going with the Goldwing.
Take a look at the Royal Star. Yamaha Royal Star. Go ahead and Google it right now.
That's
tell
another
me
month prospect.
So, Lucas, what's your next bike?
My next bike, I'm really torn. I really like the Daytona triples, but the problem with those is I usually buy a used so I get a good deal, right? And a good deal on a used bike. But the 2013 and on is the only comfortable model. Like, from 2006 to 2012, they put, you know, your knees basically right at where the clip-ons are. So it's a really, really aggressive bike just based on the riding position. So.
I've been appreciating Triumph through the years. They've, I think, slowly just been making better and better.
I agree.
Bikes and are kind of under the radar, you know, for the sport bikes.
They're not as popular, but they make some really good shit. And that new Daytona is fucking awesome. And I would be stoked to have one. So, but right. I don't know if I could deal with the riding position. I'd love to have that torque coming off of the triple. Because, you know, I've been riding I4s for my last three bikes. So, you know, I love the top end power, but I mean, you know, it's just like there's just no torque. So I was thinking about that. But I also thought maybe I could upgrade to a Gixxer and
okay, we're back to
and
the wrong
be
bike.
A stunner.
I thought on your life.
I thought about getting a 750 just because it would have a little bit more low end power, and it's like a 600 frame with a bigger bored out engine in it, so it's just as nimble. I love middleweight bikes. I love my 600 because it's really light, handles really well. So I just look for something like that, but with more low end power.
You sure I can't talk you into a Goldwing?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can.
Sport train.
I'm not hardcore enough for the world.
What's your next bike?
Probably like a budget wise and capability wise. Like, I think any bike from 2000 to 2007, money and capability wise, still very relevant.
You told me you were looking at a 2000 R1.
I'm looking at a 2000 R1. It's a little haggard.
Like, jank?
Well, no, the fairings are, you know.
I have the person to help you check that out.
No, but like that's the thing. Like, it'll be that bike, and I'll just put handlebars on it, and it'll start sport touring.
You know, our friend Rich spells his name R1CH.
Oh, I know Rich. Yeah, I know Rich.
He's got three.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I know Rich.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So, Goldwing. Megan, what's your next bike going to be?
Well, I really like the Gladius, and you know that.
Yes.
I also really, really, really like the Super Dukes. That's kind of...
That's mine.
No.
That's mine.
I really like the Super Dukes.
I'm going to tell you that is not the right bike for you.
Just because you can't handle the truth.
Yeah.
I can't even handle the Duke.
Are you talking about the 390, the new 390s that are coming out?
No.
Get the little one.
No.
See, Megan...
The Super Duke, the
I saw like a brand new one the other day, and I just about came. Yeah. It was so awesome.
Megan.
It was black and white, and it was just beautiful, and yeah.
They make good looking bikes, them guys.
I won't doubt that the Super Duke is like a fucking awesome bike, and the 1290 Super Duke is like orgasmic.
I don't want a 1290.
I'm just saying.
No.
I'm just saying. I've talked to people, and what they've told me is that this is strictly a hooligan bike, not just a good bike for it. They said that because of the way the frame is set up and the massive amounts of torque and power coming out of it.
This is motorcycles, man. Stop trying to be
also,
reasonable.
Lucas, I also don't have as much testosterone in me as you guys do. But then why get it? You know, like,
why get it?
I'm not worried about that.
That is the one argument that a girl with, it's like, I don't suffer testosterone poisoning.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
It's not like it handles. It's not like it's an agile or fun. The thing is, that is the bike for being a douche. Like, if you
no,
want to
I think I think the Gixxer 750 is the bike for being a douche. Sorry.
If you want to go doing like second, fourth gear wheelies and that's the bike for it. If you want to do burnouts,
well, what if I do, Lucas? What if I do?
If you do, I will respect you more.
That reminds me, we're going to have to show you the video of what we did today.
Yeah, I can see some results.
There is a video of that.
Okay, I'm excited.
It's way cooler.
Michael, what's your next bike going to be?
For me, I mean, it's been fun riding a sport bike, but I'm really interested in getting a dirt bike. So probably WR 450 or a DRZ.
That is
well,
great
Mike, mm-hmm. Mike has special circumstances. He lives out in Arizona.
Right. So it's a lot more sandy and there's way less incorporated area out there. So you can just ride into dirt anywhere. And I mean, there's just so much more opportunity to be a hooligan. Yeah, DRZ or something.
The cops stop you just right off into the desert.
Like, that may end up happening. Maybe not. Hopefully not. But you never know.
Douglas, what's going to be your next bike?
Getting a dirt bike.
Nice.
They're popular out here.
What kind are you looking at?
Two good answers.
With knobby wheels.
Okay. Yo, Doug, Doug has a DRZ though. Why don't you just get like another set of wheels?
It's too pretty for that.
I hear this every time.
It's too pretty.
He's sick of this.
If you look at Adrian's bike out there, old and busted.
Yes.
You look at my bike, new hotness.
Okay.
Old and busted, new hotness.
All right, I see where you're going
dirt
with that.
Brutal.
I don't want to have to take a
tweezers. Doesn't yours have some new scrapes?
And a Q-tip to it every time I want to ride it back on the streets. So.
I feel what you're saying. I get it.
I'm going to crash it every time, so I don't want to.
People have told me I should do that.
Fuck it up even more.
That's a good argument.
All right, so I'm going to say my next bike, I plan on it being a Super Duke. But I realize it's probably not going to be a 1290 because the 990 is more bike than I can handle. So why spend the money on a 1290? So,
America,
trying to be reasonable.
Well, here's the thing. I rode the 990 and I had this like premonition that this is how I will die, but it felt good. It felt right.
No, that's totally cool.
Does that make sense?
No, I dig that.
Bike you're going to ride into the grave.
A friend of mine who lives in the city had this weird dream, but he doesn't ride. He had this weird dream about him riding a motorcycle off the Golden Gate Bridge. It's a weird dream that he had. I was like, dude, that means you have to get a bike. I mean, that's what I told him. Like, you've been wanting to do.
So, but my thing is, I need to sell 3 bikes before I can get another one.
Which ones are you going to sell?
XL175, Rat, and Gooch.
I don't know them by their nicknames.
The XL175.
That runs on kerosene.
The farm truck.
Oh, yeah.
And the rat bike.
Wow.
Should totally do
Why it. Is the farm truck called Gooch?
Okay, here we go. So,
well, son.
The Gooch has 2 different seats on it. Nice. One is a Harley police seat, big soft seat for regular riding.
Is that the bike that had the metal seat on it?
But it also has an interchangeable metal tractor seat. And the seat is held in by a single bolt that goes right down the middle into the bike. And we found that a certain RPM range, it vibrates your gooch. And you gotta get this little
You sure you wanna get rid of that thing? I just sit in the driveway with a thing on.
Well, to turn sitting on there and revving it up and like,
I'm just heating up my bike for an hour.
Cool.
You're overheating, I know.
So that's why it's called the gooch, because it vibrates your gooch.
Yeah.
I'm sure some lady out there will want that real bad.
All right, so
sell that as a feature.
If you need help finding the right bike for you, if you're interested in looking for a bike, contact us, and we will tell you what we think might be the right bike.
Yeah.
So to close this out, Megan, why don't you give all the info how they can contact us?
Okay, you can reach us at our Facebook page, which is Recycle Santa Cruz. You can also email us at recyclemotorcyclegarage@gmail.com. And if you need any more of that information, go to our website, which is motorcyclesandmisfits.com.
Also, check out Lucas's YouTube page, Tenebris Abyss.
Tenebris
Abyss. Tenenbaum Abyss.
I heard brisket in there. I'm hungry already.
Let me spell it out.
Chitlins.
T-E-N-E-B-R-O-U-S-A-B-Y-S-S. One word. Check it out.
Sounds like you guys practiced.
Go to LucasSucks.com.
Maybe. No, it's not LucasSucks. Lucas is a douchebag.
So that wraps it up. Thanks for listening. This is Liza. We got... Lucas.
This is not Kalo.
Donut.
Megan.
Mike.
Doug.
Cool.